Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so excited today to be back on our radio broadcast on today. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity today to just study the Word of God on today. God is so awesomely good. I just thank Him on today. I give God reverence. I give my Father praise and reverence, who is my life. And to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places, I just thank and give God praise on today, and I give Him glory on today. I thank Him. I praise Him today. We're going to get ready to open up our worship to order today, our Bible class. We're going to have a short devotion. Hallelujah. We're going to just sing a little hymn. We're going to have a song. We're going to pray. We're going to read the scripture, and then we'll pray, if that's fine. Okay, amen. God bless each one of you. We're going to just hear some music first. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Come on.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. Tell me who can make mountains move out of my way? Who can make a miracle because of my faith? With the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me at every step? God is able. God is able. God is able. Tell me who make a rib out of a little stream. Tell clouds to roll back so the sun can look at me. And who tell the wind to whistle through the trees? And when I'm in trouble, who's the same God that will come down? God is able. God
scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 68. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, Jah. And rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy inhabitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. I've just read to you from Psalm 68, from the first through the eighth verses. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come this evening, Father, if we offended anyone, Lord, if we hurt anyone, if we caused anyone to stumble, Lord, we ask your forgiveness this evening in the name of Jesus. We ask you today to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything, Lord, in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you today to create in us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on today. Father, I come today asking you and thanking and praising you, magnifying your holy name, lifting your name up. Father, I just come thanking you today, magnify you, glorify you today, give you praise on today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you today, Lord, to take over and take control over this Bible class, Lord. I have no knowledge of myself, Lord. Only through you, by you, by Christ, through the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you right now to cover our minds today, cover our thoughts, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to cover us, Lord. I ask you to open it up our understanding today, in the name of Jesus. Let me lay my will down. Let me decrease 100% that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Lord, will increase 100%. Lord, we just thank you today. We give you praise. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. I just give glory to God. I just thank God for you and Radio Land, those that's on our radio broadcast. Hallelujah. Today, hallelujah, we're going to be talking. It's going to hit a lot of us, especially me. Hallelujah. We're coming today. We're talking about Christians can and do have demons. Christians can and do have demons. Amen. When you enter the ministry of casting out demons, inedibly challenged by that question, is it possible for a born again believer to have a demon? Is it? In charismatic circles, the question is it possible for a believer who is baptized and the Holy Spirit to have a demon? Absolutely not. Come the stock answer. Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit cannot coexist in the same body with a demon. Mm-mm. The answer is designed to shut off all further inquiries and to close the mind even to the possibility unthinkable. It is invoked with the existence of a slogan. It is invoked with the essence of a slogan. Yes, it is not an unthinkable thing. Yes, it is not a scriptural answer. It is an extra-biblical piece of logic that stands quiet by itself. The often heard statement does not rest on an assumption. Actually, the answer to both the above, the answer to both of the above questions is definitely yes. It is a particularly dangerous delusion to think that Satan or the demons adopted any kind of hands-off policy towards believers. It's crazy. And it's not true. As a matter of fact, they affect and afflict believers as much as possible. They buffet, oppose, and seek to tempt and deceive to lead them astray. They look for and quickly seize upon any opportunity to hinder believers. Almost 100% of deliverances we have seen has been among the born-again believers. What about that? Born-again believers have to be delivered. Most of them were baptized in the Spirit, Christians. However, this is no guarantee against inroads of evil. Demons are by no means automatically disposed of through these or subsequent spiritual experiences. They're not. And what we're saying here is believers can have demons. Most of them were baptized in the Spirit, Christian. However, there's no guarantees. You have to do what it takes because they study, come against you. They study, do things to try to play on your weaknesses. And you have to do the things to stay up and above and ahead. Although evil spirits may have been rendered temporarily inactive or unable to function, there is always a possibility of a revival of their power during times of stress and pressure as long as they are inside. This explains the absolute necessity for removing them completely. Now, I'm going to say this again because we need to know this. Although evil spirits may have been rendered temporarily inactive or unable to function, there is always a possibility of a revival of their power during times of stress and pressure as long as they are in absolute necessity of removing them completely. Some teach that under no circumstances, can born-again persons have demons. These same people will automatically attribute all emotions, they would attribute all emotional, moral, and spiritual problems to something other than an evil spirit. If this be true, then there would be no need to cast out demons. If this is true. Of course, this will create a severe problem because of the clear command of Jesus to do it. Was he confused? Did Jesus fail to foresee that all of our modern problems would be solved by psychiatric and counseling rather than by deliverance? Why would he invoke something which was not necessary for the believer? Why? After ministering deliverance for a while, one thing has become extremely clear to me. Those who most oppose deliverances, the ones that mostly they oppose deliverance ministries, you know, because a lot of people don't believe in getting delivered, are the ones who need it the most. They need it the most because they just don't believe Christians can have demons. They don't believe that. They just don't believe it. We have to come to reality that some of us can have demons. Most of us, I guess, at some time or another, because demons do not stop. The evil spirits don't stop. They own you. Hey, evil spirits may have been rendered temporary inactive or unable to function, but there is always a possibility of a revival of their powers during the time that you're stressed, during the time that you're pressured. As long as they are already inside, they can attack you any kind of way they want to. But we have to know what to do. We just have to know what to do. It is the enemy spirit inside, which they deny having, you know, because believe me, I know, because I've been attacked so many times. I'm not saying that I have demons and demons, but evil spirits always bother me. They attack me all the time. Attack me all the time. So I know. And we have to know exactly what to do. The word of God said the only way to defeat the enemy is by the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. So that's what I do all the time. But Paul's directions to Timothy comes to mind right now because he was ministering to Timothy about it. He said over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, he says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth." This is the truth. To refuse deliverance is to reject the only means powerful enough to break the shackles of a demonic bondage. When you refuse or reject deliverance, you know, because there is no other way to be free. There is no other way. We have to want deliverance. We have to actually want it because it won't work if you. Now, I'm not going to say that because I got enough faith, and I know some of you have enough faith. But if you are trying to lay hands on people or even to that, calling a demon out, and you don't have enough faith and they don't have faith, the thing's going to jump on you. So you got to show enough, know what you're doing when you're tackling a demon. Because, hey, if they didn't fought me like cats and dogs, believe me. Opposition, a savage opposition to the real deliverance ministry is faced everywhere. You have to stand up to them face to face. You can't run from no demon. You can't let him know your weakness, honey. He already trying to work on you. We didn't got for enough to get to the deliverance part. What about the part, can believers, can Christians have demons? Now, I'm telling you, I know I didn't have demons, especially down in the years when I wasn't in church like I am. Now, I wasn't who I am today.
I had some. We don't think so, but the devil is a lie. Because when he, that's what he wants you to think, you don't have no demons, so then you won't want no deliverance. You be saying, oh, that's just this, or oh, that's just that, or oh, this, no, 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 no. And it ain't no shame. That's nothing. We have to have truth. This is truth from God. Truth to set us free. Not only deliverance set us free, truth will set us free. And I'm telling you, it's so many people walking around today that need deliverance, that have demons, that think they don't have demons. I'm telling you, hey, I've been there. I've done that. And may have another one. Don't know. I know I be getting attacked all the time. Every time I try to teach on something like this, believe me, I'm getting attacked. But I'm ready. Believe me, I'm ready for them. You hear me? Yes, ma'am, I'm ready for them because I'm going to attack them back. Yes, I am. I know just how to do it. With the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. So I ain't worried about it because it ain't going to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. Okay? In the name, now, press the battle against demonic foes who seek to block. Defeat of the enemy will allow this message to be scattered. This, in turn, will bring multitudes in the reality and power of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it. I know it can be saved. When I tell you, some people just don't feel and believe that if you, that it is impossible for a born-again believer to have a demon. It's not true. Is it possible for a believer who is baptized in the Holy Spirit to have a demon? Both of those questions is absolutely true. Yes. Yes. It is. We have to know that because Satan has so many tricks and schemes and stuff. When you attack or when any little opening, any little pressure, any stress that you've been through anything that you've done, any little opening that they can get in and lie dormant, you don't never know. I had an apostle tell me 2 or 3 weeks ago that she dreamed that she was having sex with a cousin. And she said, well, I had the sex with him, but I thought, awful because he was my cousin. I said, baby, that was not your cousin in that dream. That was a incubus, succubus, whatever, whichever one for it. That's what that was, I say, because what they do is they make you feel like you having sex with somebody familiar. Because if you see what you really was having sex with, you'll probably have a stroke or heart attack because they're so ugly and just filthy. You wouldn't know what to do, so they put on a face, a familiar face, a familiar spirit. I said, no, sweetheart, I know she probably is the most powerful apostle. But let me tell you something. We all can have demons. Believe me. We are. I'm not saying she have a demon, but she definitely was attacked by one of them night spirits. One of them sex demons. Yes, yes, yes. But she's a powerful apostle, believe me. She is, but that just goes to show you, filled with the Holy Ghost and power and anointing and all that stuff, and she still got attacked. Don't tell me they want to attack you. I done been through it too much, even at that revival over there in St. Louis. My stomach swole up like a basketball. Then I passed gas in front of all those people. I said, what the world? I knew I was being attacked. But that's okay because he didn't win. I mean, he used some demons that was right there in the service, but he didn't win. And believers can have demons. They can have demons. One of the intern women of War, Dorita, she was telling me she used to help this apostle or bishop, whoever he was, in deliverance ministry once a week. And she said that he could do that and help other people get delivered. But he needed deliverance from this succubus, the lady thing. But he could help everybody else, but he couldn't get delivered from that. And she said that they were still praying for him. You know, it didn't stop him from praying for other people. But when you have a demon like that, it's not good to lay your hands on people, because or people shouldn't allow anyone that they figure that got a demon, lay their hand on them, because that thing can transfer. So I feel like, yes, believers, Holy Ghost baptized, fear, Holy Ghost fear, baptized believers can't have demons. Is there any question or remark or anything? Okay. Right here, the apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right here the apostle deals with the case. This is a case of a disobedient and sinful believer in the church at Corinth. In verse 10 of the same chapter, he specifically emphasizes that he is not speaking about evildoers of the world, but in the church. That's what Paul was writing. He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must ye need go out of the world. Several arguments, people was arguing about this, advanced to prove that under no circumstance a born again person have a demon. The most common statement is that a Christian cannot be possessed. This will be discussed later, but right now we just want to talk about a Christian being possessed. The believer is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Therefore, demons cannot coexist within the same body. The proof text usually used, that people usually use, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. However, the verse do not say this. I'm going to read it right now. Chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things and with spiritual. Now, in this, we comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or this difficult phrase may perhaps mean that interpreting spiritual truth to spiritual mind. See, a lot of times we talk just like we're talking, just plain, not in the spirit. But we have to look and think spiritually minded, knowing that demons can possess anybody. That's not, and you can be, like I said, holy, whatever. But if you're not doing the stuff, and if you open up, if you're open, any little demon can get in, then that's a problem. We have to always, and I mean, it's hard. You have to always be thinking on that spiritual part. I know we got to live human, we human, and we can't always be spiritual, but as much It's possible because Satan tries to wait until you in that moment where you drop your guards and think everything all right, you know, because the holy days are coming up. The Passover is coming up. And so me and Apostle, we're going to keep the holy day. We're going to celebrate the Passover, do the Passover meal. And it says we have to get wine. And so here he's saying, well, we're going to get some wine. No, we're not. We're going to get some juice, and we're going to pray over this wine because I'm telling you, old people tell us all the time, you just a little wine, it'll relax you. It's not going to relax me. It probably would, but I'm not taking no chance because that's just how things happen. That's just how the demons get in. That's just that little bit right there, and not even for the drinking part. I'm talking about even when we thinking wrong, we thinking fantasy thoughts and all kind of stuff like that. All during the day, we have to constantly repent and renounce and repent and rebuke and bind. And all day long, you have to keep your guards up, keep them up. Because you can be on the bus stop and somebody pass you looking all crazy, and that's what you will say. He looks so stupid. Why staring at me? You know, and that's a negative thought. And we're not perfect. God knows we're not. But we have to repent from that stuff. We have to renounce that stuff and repent, and we have to try to train our minds and stuff not to think like that. So my mama always told me, if you can't speak or say something good about a person, don't say nothing at all. Don't think it at all. Just, hey, go on about your business. Because that's what starts the demons to come, and then that we have to get delivered. And especially with the leaders, when demons can attack the leaders, when they can attack the leaders and know that the congregation sit up under them, and that anything that flows down from the leader flows down on the congregation, they got a slew of people. They have a slew of people. But people want to prove that under no circumstance can a born believer, born again believer, have a demon, and they can. They can. The believer, we have the Holy Spirit. But soon as the demon takes over, the Holy Spirit gone. Believe me, he's not going to stay there. He's not going to stay there, and that's why. A lot of times when I used to get attacked, you can tell. See, this is how you can tell when you get an attack. You don't want to pray. You start little by little praying. You know, when you used to pray a lot, you start saying, I don't feel like today. I do it after a while. Then after a while, I do it in the morning. Then, you know, like that. And then you sure don't want to read because every time you read, that demon going to make you go to sleep. That's what he's going to do. He's going to make you fall asleep every time you try to read. You know, every time you want to pray. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it goes. That's when you know, and you know you've been praying all the time and how God had you on point. And when this stops, you have to sit down and examine yourself because I know I do it myself because I be getting attacked all the time. So I have to always examine myself. Okay, I know I pray in the morning. See, he know I pray in the morning. He ain't going to stop that. But then it's other parts of the day. And then every now and then, sometimes I skip in the morning. I say, Lord, I'm just tired today. Can I sleep in or something like that? But a lot of times that be the enemy. That be the enemy. Now, when that apostle told me about her and this, she was saying that she thought God was upset with her because she was kind of like bargaining with this spirit, this evil spirit, because he was saying, you do too much for God, you do, and all, and see, when a spirit start talking to you like that, you instantly rebuke him and bind him, cast down every vain imagination, everything you heard, you bind and you rebuke and bind his mouth, you don't speak to me, I won't allow you to speak to me, and like that, because when you start to listen to the enemy And sometimes we listen to him because I'm telling you, I was just thinking about it. One day he talked to me almost to work about Ed. And I'm saying, who is this am I talking to? And when, honey, my spirit man got on point, I was like, get out of my car. Roll my window down. Don't say another word. You know, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. That's how you have to do it because they'll sit right there and hold a conversation with you. She said the dean was saying, you do too much for God. You get up and you do this and you read this and you prophesy and you do. And she said she didn't try to fight him off or say nothing. She just listened to him saying, No, that's not what you do. That's not what you do. You have to cast down vain imagination, make him shed or make him hate. He said anything to you because you can do it. All you have to do is rebuke and bind him and start praying. Pray in tongue until he flee. He'll flee. He'll have to flee. Resist him and he'll have to flee. So that's what we have to do. And I'm telling you, it's more pastors. It's more pastors because a lot of them would never tell you. A lot of them don't even believe in demons. A lot of them don't even like to talk about the devil. You know what I'm saying? To teach the people that it is a burning hell, and if you don't get right or get your soul right, you're going to that place. A lot of them don't like that. Don't say that. Don't teach that. You know what I'm saying? But we have to, us as a deliverance ministry, we have to always have an answer when somebody step up to you and say, can a believer have a demon? Yes. Well, how you know? How you think I know? Because so many of us believers have had demons, and you can't give me not one scripture that say that Christians cannot have a demon. Not one. See, and that's what we have to have an answer for, because Satan will send people to you. He'll send people to you to try to see where you are. Do you know anything? And a lot of times, believe me, this morning I went in my prayer closet. I prayed in my prayer room downstairs. I purged. I prayed and purged so my nose bled again. I just don't care. I don't want nothing. I knew because I travel. See, when you travel, things try to attach to you and all kind of stuff. And I purge and purge today. I haven't had a plate yet today. And if God don't want me to have now, I'm not going to have one. But I'm telling you this, this is how you have to do it, because we ain't none of us holy, so holy that it won't happen to us. I try to live as holy as I can, but I'm not perfect. Nobody perfect but the Father. Nobody perfect but Jesus and the Holy Ghost. We're not there yet. If we was, we'll be where they are. But we're not. We're still on the potter's wheel. Still purging. Hallelujah. Still praying and expecting and thanking God for what he's doing. But when I know when I travel these trains and stuff, I can see demons in people. And they see me, too. So I try to stay away from them. I know how they look at me. I look at them back. They know who I am. I know who they are. So that's how you have to do. I've been this there. But when you pray in tongues, when you, and sometimes it don't have to be in tongues, when you fervently pray and you mean it and sincere from your heart, you ask God to purge you, you don't think he will? He sure will, whatever demon, whatever spirit it is. Hallelujah. Because I remember one time when I was staying over in the other house, I had to call Prophet Shabbat. She said, sister, that is an evil spirit that's messing with you. He's messing with you. She prayed. She said, open your window up. I know it be. I know it. But you have to stand on the word of God. And Christians can have demons. See, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's in 1 John 3:8. And indeed he did. In the case of problems caused by demons, the remedy and the method of doing this is to cast off the demons in his name, because he destroyed the work of the devil. Hallelujah. Only way you can get rid of them is by the blood of Jesus, through the blood and by the name of Jesus, because Jesus came and destroyed the works of the enemy. That's one of the scriptures I read every day, sometimes 3 and 4 times a day, because that's what he came. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, of the works of the devil. The struggle inside the believer is always revealed to be the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and not a struggle involving demons. It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, because it says no good thing dwell in our flesh. There's no good thing. No good thing in our flesh. So we have to remember that Romans 6 and 7, where the unconscious claiming of the promises of Jesus, of the promises of God, will solve every human problem. The believer is delivered from the power of Satan and his demons. Colossians 1, chapter 12. We were just talking about the consciousness claiming of promises of God. That's in Romans 6 and 7, chapter 6 and 7. But the believer is delivered from the power of Satan and of his demons. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Yes, but like many other promises, not automatically, but only as we voluntarily meet God's conditions for deliverance. Because when I tell you, deliverance is something. And when you get delivered, how you going to stay delivered? See, this is what I'm saying. When you get delivered, how are you going to stay delivered? The same thing it took for you to get delivered, you got to keep on doing those same things. Oh, God can deliver us from so many things. But for, like, masturbation and thinking fantasy stuff and lusting for men or lusting for women and all this kind of stuff, God can deliver you. He can. It's when I tell you, when it's like, when you do this every day, it's a hard thing sometimes, but there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. There is nothing impossible for God to do. Nothing. So when you have faith and you believe from your heart, and I mean you believe that God can do it, he'll do it. But you got to believe. Hallelujah. You got to want it done. Hallelujah. We all can have demons, but I tell you what, just like Jesus walked up into a legion, and he was scared to walk up to Jesus. That's how they better than supposed to be. That's how they're supposed to be, afraid to walk up to the man and woman of God. They know when you come, they start hollering before you get there. Just like I can remember, see, because things I watch, it's been movies and different things, like in the Green Mile, when that big man was going to pray for that lady, that thing was hollering before he ever got there. She was hollering, go away and all kind of stuff, because they know who you are. They know who you are. I can look back. I'm going to start writing. Me and my sister was talking. I'm going to start writing my things that happened to me in my life. I'm going to start writing, because I can remember the time when I was with my ex-husband down in Mississippi, Alabama, somewhere, and he was going to preach for a pastor. He preached for the pastor, and another pastor wanted him to come preach for him. So he went over there, and then they invited us to dinner. Lo and behold, this lady, his wife was a witch. My right hand to God. I don't care. You cannot judge a person for just looking at them. Because she looked just as nice and sweet, But when I tell you, I hadn't touched and ate nothing in that house. I started feeling some kind of way. So after a couple of hours, I started getting real sick on my stomach. When I say I was throwing up in just big drops of sweat, I had to take all my clothes off in that bathroom. I was going through something. Didn't know what it was. Keith ran and got me some stuff to stop me from throwing up some of this stuff that you take like cough syrup, but it's not cough syrup, some kind of cola or something. It stopped me from throwing up, and we left as soon as I got stopped throwing up. But then 2 years ago, at one of my clients' house, a lady came to see my client. She was a witch. The reason why I know, I didn't know it until she, I knew she was acting strange, and she started saying, me and you, we just alike. I said, what you mean we just alike? See, we got truckers alike, but that was not what she meant. She didn't mean that. She kept saying, we just alike. I said, no. I said, I got more moles than freckles, is what I said. She said, no, we just alike. That lady made it almost to her car. I was bent over holding my stomach. I rolled over on that couch. I made it to the couch. I rolled over on that couch. I was finna start throwing up. I started pleading the blood of Jesus against whatever, because she was chanting. See, she started chanting, and that's what made me double up my stomach. That I was missing my stomach. So I started sweating. So my client, Larry, he started calling me, Debbie, I said, I'll be up there in a minute. Okay, I need some water. And I was so grateful that I knew exactly back then. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know I was being attacked. But this time, because it was the same identical thing, I knew what it was. I started peeing the blood of Jesus. I started asking God to bind the strong man. And, baby, she hurried up and got away. That sickness soon passed. Yes, it did. It soon left me. But you have to know what to do. You have to know what to do. And from your experiences, that's why I say so many things have happened to me in my life. I got to write them down. I got to put them in a book. You know, so I'm getting ready to start my book, because the things that has happened to me all my life, it will make some kind of book. And the stuff that's still happening, even today, when I tell you, even today, the lady next door from me, when we first moved here in this new home, it's just a nice, subtle community. So the man across the street talked to Ed. He said, we all look out for each other and this and that around here. He said, no, you worried about it. He said, if you go out of town, whatever you do, just let somebody. And they white people. The lady next door white. So I was looking over there and see, we got witness where I can open my bedroom window and look out and stuff and look at her house. So I would have saw this thing before, but I'm just seeing it a week ago. Well, she got a gargoyle. It wasn't there. It was not there. I would have noticed it then, like I noticed now. It's a gargoyle sitting on her porch facing my window. Then I called Apostle Joanne was here. I told, she came here and looked at it. I told Ed, he looked at it. I said, you know that wasn't right there. He said, yeah. So I'm asking God what to do, because I've been prayed against them. I know what they can do. So I got my apostle's cross, and I hung it. It's still hanging up in my window. I got my curtains closed, but that cross is facing that thing. Every now and then I could feel a little something, but see, I bind and rebuke, even when I'm asleep, because your spirit don't sleep. See, your spirit don't sleep. So whatever it is, my spirit be on point most of the time, and that's the way we have to be. We have to try to pray in season out and always have our spirit alert, our spirit man, because a lot of times if your spirit wasn't awake and alert, you have been attacked. But your spirit man is never sleeps. Mm-mm. It don't have to sleep. Yeah. And that's why a lot of times Prophet Shawah was telling me, that God was going to use me, my spirit, to go and travel and lay hands on the sick in different places while I'm asleep. So I know nobody but the Lord told me that the spirit doesn't sleep, but then I remember what Prophetess Sherrod said. So, you know, it's a good thing to know these things. We're not halfway done with 10 Christians or believers have demons, even if you feel with the Holy Spirit, because if you study doing stuff wrong and if you have an opening in you where one little demon can get in, that's it. You can think anything. And then I be having problems sometimes myself. I be having problems sometimes keeping my mind focused and not thinking negative stuff. That's where I am. And when, you know, I'm praying and fasting and asking God to help me with that part. I mean, I need him to help me with everything, but I'm saying I don't want to think negative about anyone. I don't want to have a bad thing to say about anyone. Now, it's different. It's a different thing to say something that's true, you know, about somebody. And I'm not saying don't say nothing bad or negative and bad about a person, but if something is true, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to say truth. I'm not going to sit up and talk about nobody, but I'm going to say the truth. So that's different because I have to. I'm commanded to. I'm compelled to. I have to. But the negative stuff or sitting up gossiping, talking about somebody, Because that'll open the door. I ain't telling you nothing I heard. I'm telling you what happened to me. So that's why I'm on it. So, cause I was asking God, why, what, how did this happen? Where did it come from? Did he let me know? You can't negativity. I pray that prayer all the time. You know, I pray it every week almost in the prayer on the prayer night. You know, about binding up every negative thought, every negative word. And then you sit around and you say something negative or bad about somebody. What you think? It's a demonic move. And we have to know that we can't do that. Because it will open a door. And you will not be in good standings with God. You won't be in the will of God. We cannot sit around and say negative things about people and think that stuff in your mind, because just like lusting, if you think it, you may as well do it. So that's why we have to repent all the time and ask God to help us and forgive us, because, and when you don't do it, and I try to renounce that negativity and replace it with something positive, you know, and so, and if you don't have anything good to say, just be quiet. Don't even bring it up in your mind. If it pop up in your mind, cast it down. Just cast it down. That's a safe way. That's the most safe thing to do to keep you from in that sin right there or opening the door right there. Because I just, in the Bible said, don't be a talebearer. That's what a talebearer is. So we really have to be careful, and we can have demons. Because believe me, they can attach to you so strong. Like I say, even in crowded places, even if a person comes to your house, people come to your house, at your job, different places like that. That's why you have to stay anointed and ask God to cover you in the blood. So these things, and before you go in your house, you pray, if I bind every demon or spirit that try to attack itself to me, in the name of Jesus, you go to hell. You can't go in my house, so I see you. Hallelujah. Get away, you know, or I bind you up and I send you to the pit. You can't go in here. You know, it's stuff like that, so they will not transfer and go into your home. You know, because they are running. Because I know people say they didn't see demons running in the house. and stuff like that in people's houses and stuff. It's real because you can see something run real quick, and you won't know what it is. You think it's a mug or something, and it'd be one of these little demons. And they'll stay hid until they think the appropriate time to come out. So now I don't play that. I ain't scared of that. If I think I see one, I'm going, well, you are, you getting out of here. If I see something in my living room or something, anything, I'm going where it is. Hey, you need to talk to me? Because this, we finna have it out right now. I'm not afraid of no person, no demon, no nothing. I only fear God. Only fear him. So that's how we have to, we can't let weakness and they attack us. We got to stand up face to face. That's what that word was meaning and saying. We have to look them in the face, cast them down, cast them out. You know, that's what God called us to do. Some people, everybody can't do it. Everybody can't. Because some people are afraid they got that. You know, some people are scared. So nothing you can do about it. But God got deliverance ministries and people and pastors and bishops, apostles that will and can deliver. He'll, you know, he'll use to deliver. So and that's a blessing. So anyway, this we're going to finish up on next week on this. I want to really get into it next week. I got into it tonight, so pretty good. But I'm going to get ready to close out. I just thank and praise God for each one of you on Radio Land and those that's on our radio broadcast. I thank and praise God for each one of you, each one of you. God is he's just so perfect, and he loves us. And he wants us to know these things so we can't be tricked by the enemy. We can't be fooled by the enemy. So we just giving God all the praise tonight. Amen. So we'll see you all right back here on Sunday at 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Father, we just thank you for every word. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word on tonight. We thank you for opening up our understanding. We thank you, Lord, for making us think and listen better. We thank you for covering us in your anointing. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Father, we thank you for our Bible study, and we give you praise on tonight. Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. Cover them in the name of Jesus and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray and ask all these things. Amen. You all have a good rest of the night, and God bless each one of you. I love you, and God love you too. Amen. You all have a good night.
Amen.